Prepare to be astonished!
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
Good evening and welcome to an adventure in history. We're so happy you're joining us once again on KMUN, our favorite local radio station, or listening via podcast.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome back.
Thanks. Yes.
You missed last week.
I did. I skipped out on you. I had other things to do.
I said harsh things about you.
I know, but I set you up with a good guest.
You did, but I still...
Two guests, actually. Just one. Okay.
Yeah, you set me up for two, but only one showed up.
Oh, that's interesting.
Eric was busy.
Oh, it's probably running the store,
yes.
Right?
Okay. Yeah. But I totally called you out. I was like, she just doesn't care anymore.
No, but I gave you the guest. This time I brought a guest.
You did. This is going to be fun. I
brought
tell.
Summer Watkins. Thanks for joining me.
Absolutely. Thank you for inviting me.
I talked her into it a month ago, 2 months ago. And she's like, I have nothing to talk about. And 30 minutes later, she stopped talking. I think literally
true.
That was the conversation. And I was like, we're going to be fine.
We only need 28 minutes.
Exactly.
So you're good. So you'll have to edit and figure out what 2 minutes you cut out.
Yeah.
So we should get right to it then.
Do it. Let's
do
it.
So quick commercial though. Casino night, Roaring 20s Casino Night at the Harry's Museum is coming up February 21st.
Remind me of the password at the door. Or do I only get that if I buy the ticket?
You only buy the ticket and then we'll tell you.
Okay.
Because we don't want strangers just coming in.
Showing up. You'd still take their money.
But we do need, there's a change because for the last few years, we've been on the same evening as Dark Arts Festival.
Okay.
And we're not because that's Valentine's Day.
Oh, yeah.
And they're still going on Valentine's Day.
But it's perfect.
We decided not to.
Okay.
So we're on the 21st, the Saturday afterwards. Okay, but we got the big history highlights, things to talk about that happened on this day tomorrow, January 19th. Things to talk about at the water cooler, if there is such a thing. The dining room table, wherever you may be, carpooling.
Yes.
Okay.
There we go.
But I've got a few that I'm going to quiz you first on the date. Oh, I know you hate this, but I enjoy it. If there was some way that you could quiz me, I'd be okay because I would be equally wrong. So I want you both to guess what date do you think on this day, January 19th, what year, the Geological Survey says the U.S. oil supply will be depleted within 20 years?
Holy smokes.
1989.
74. Let's go in the middle of the crisis.
1922.
Holy smokes.
Interesting.
I think they were slightly wrong.
Yeah.
1922. Yeah, we got 20 years left and then we're out of oil.
Okay.
And then on what day did Cooper's Inc. sell the world's first men's briefs in Chicago, and they call it the Jockey? So men's underwear. What year?
And so they wore nothing prior to this?
That's what I don't know.
Okay.
I think they had something.
Okay. 1930.
1930. That's a good guess.
22.
Wow. 1935.
Oh, we don't.
Okay. Interesting.
But yeah, I did ask. It did suddenly make me wonder, okay, did we just have long johns and that's what they considered? Okay.
A jockey. Yeah. And then that name stuck for
But they
one
called
brand.
It the jockey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. On this day in 1809, Edgar Allan Poe was born. We like Edgar Allan Poe. All right. 1883, the first electric lighting system employing overhead wires is built by Thomas Edison and it begins service at Roselle, New Jersey.
Ooh, if only he learned to bury them earlier.
Yes, no kidding. 1939, Ernest Howson of Wisconsin sets the chicken plucking record at 4.4 seconds.
Oh my gosh.
Now, I have never plucked a chicken, so I had to ask. One of the people in my office is from Indiana originally. So I said, hey, did you ever pluck a chicken? He goes, yeah. I said, how long does it take? And he goes, oh, not long. And I said, well, the guy that set the record in 1939 did it in 4.4 seconds. And then he was suddenly stunned. He goes, how is that possible?
Right.
So I don't know how long it takes to pluck a chicken.
Thankfully, I don't either.
Yeah.
I'm not planning on learning.
Yeah. I'll eat it. I just don't want to go through all the effort. All right. 1943, the first Warsaw Ghetto uprising begins. Mm-hmm. It's just so powerful. Mm-hmm. Mordecai, I can't remember the guy's last name, but anyway. All right, 1946, Dolly Parton is born.
Oh, we love Dolly.
You know, even if you don't like her music, if you're not a country music fan, I think you still love Dolly Parton.
Sure. Yeah.
So, all right.
We like her books, Imagination Library.
Yes.
Free books, Birth Through Five in Clatsop County. If you don't know about it, ask us. We'll help you.
Okay. 1952, the PGA approves participation of black golfers. Ugh. 1952.
And probably still only men at that point, too.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yes.
But that kind of seems early to me for 50. Civil rights movement and everything is yep. 60s, so 52.
Yeah. But, interesting.
All right. In 1955, Scrabble debuts on the board game market. Scrabble fans?
Fun. Yes, of course. Words. Yeah.
See, I'm really not. I never played it as a kid.
Oh.
Never.
Okay.
It wasn't until I was an adult before the first time I played it.
Right. Well, it's not really a kid game. I don't play with my kids. I mean, they don't know enough words yet.
When I say
right?
kid, I mean like 12, 13, 14, 15 even. So. Fan of Scrabble?
I played when I was a kid with my great-grandmother.
Oh, that's kind
of... But she was really good at it.
Yeah. And she didn't let you win?
No, she did not.
That's funny. Go great-grandma. All right, but our history highlight of the day, I think had the most impact on history. 1915. Neon tube sign is patented by George Claude. Neon signs.
Oh, okay. Got it. Oh,
they say the neon lights are bright on Broadway.
Yeah, that's it.
Don't make me sing.
That's a good one. So, I don't know about, I mean, I guess out of that list.
I know Dolly Parton. I know what you're going to say.
Yeah. Well, and we don't do births usually. So. Okay. That's good. Well, we're here to talk about another fabulous woman.
Oh, good segue. There's I was trying to figure segue. Out a segue from neon lights.
We have Summer Watkins here. Thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you for inviting me.
Summer is the Director of Finance for Columbia County Mental Health. And are you a lifelong Warrenton resident?
I am. We left for a very short time when I was, 18. I moved to Portland. And series of events ended up moving to Maryland, but we only stayed for about 6 months. And then I could not wait to get home. and we drove. So when we drove cross country, it was my husband and I, we've been together since high school. Wow. And when we were driving home, we hit about Hood River, not Hood Canal. And I rolled down the windows and I said, oh my gosh, do you smell that? Do you smell that? We're home. I am never leaving. And I actually cried.
Oh.
Wow.
So, and of course, you know, when growing up here, couldn't wait to leave. I was not going to stay in this county. Didn't want anything to do with this county. But man, when I smelled it after having not been here, this was home and I wasn't leaving.
You knew. And you've traveled, of course, but lived. And you lived, because you still live in Warrenton.
I do. I live probably 200 yards from the house I grew up in.
No, really?
Yeah.
So that during that whole time, too, you've done that? Same house?
We've lived in the same house. I think we purchased that in 2005. So 21 years.
That's amazing. Okay, well, let's go back. Let's talk about your family. How did your family settle here? Who here came first? Do you know?
That is an interesting story. Actually, my great-great-great-something grandfather was one of the first people to settle in Oregon. And he was a state senator and whatnot. And Mount Scott down near Crater Lake. There's several towns and things named after him down there. But his name was Levi Scott. And he came in 1840s. Maybe 50s. I'm not quite sure. So he was here for quite some time, but he left his family in Iowa. And eventually my grandmother divorced, which was abnormal for those times.
Right.
She divorced and then was a migrant worker because women had no rights. Mm-hmm. You couldn't have a bank account. You didn't have any money. You couldn't, you know, do anything without a man, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So she was a migrant worker and kind of followed the crops. And brought my grandmother to the, somewhere, I can't remember, Lafayette area.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how my grandmother's, my grandfather, I'm not quite sure how his parents ended up here, but he was born and raised in Newburgh and Tillamook area. My mother was born in Tillamook. So that side's been here. And then my father, I have no idea. My grandfather was Lakota Sioux Indian. So they were from the Dakotas. And I have no idea how they got here. I never had the conversation. I didn't have the opportunity. But my father was raised here for the most part, graduated Astoria High School with my mother and all of that. I don't know.
Wow. And what did they do?
My father worked for Bumblebee. What he did, I'm not sure. My mother worked for, well, when I was very young, she worked at the Pig and Pancake, and she was head waitress when I was like 3 and 4 years old. And my father worked for Bumblebee. My parents divorced when I was 4. My mother remarried. That's another great big long story. But my mother remarried a fisherman from Texas. They moved up here. They'd had a cannery in Texas, and I think 7 boats or so. And the shrimping went bad. So they sold the cannery and brought all the boats here in 1974, I believe. And then my parents married in 75. I was 5. And later, my biological father was killed in a car accident. So I was adopted. And I mean, not having had a father since I was 9, my adopted father is definitely my father. I don't know. Big long story.
So what, we've not had a lot of people that grew up in Warrenton. Mm-hmm. So what did you, where did you go as a kid? Where did you play? Where did you ride your bike? What was growing up in Warrenton like?
Oh, it was so great to be a kid in Warrenton. I actually lived out in Fort Stevens in the old officers' quarters, the house that's now, it was a bed and breakfast for a while, but that's the house I grew up in. And there's all kinds of nooks and crannies and little closets to hide in. And it's a grand staircase that we would play, you know, kings and queens. That we were coming down this, you know, to address our court. But because we lived there, we were right next door to the actual Fort Stevens State Park, the historical area that's open to the public now. But when I was a kid, it was not. So it was our private playground. And they would open it in the summer. And occasionally, once every few months, it seemed to me, they would open the little museum that they have there. But what an amazing place to grow up. And it, that being said, I also had nightmares that the Russians were coming to kill me. Oh. Because you know, it's the end of the Cold War, and you have all of these people talking about nuclear war, and I didn't know what that meant, but I lived on an army base, so I could envision what it meant. And so I would just sit in my bedroom window and stare out the window and think, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Where am I going to hide when the Russians come to kill me?
Wasn't there a book that was what to do with the Russians come that was published in like 82 or 84?
Probably.
In 1984, I believe it was. I'm not positive of the year, but I believe it was 1984, Red Dawn came out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I saw it at the movie theater, incidentally, with my husband. But I was sitting there watching it thinking, this is it. This is it. This is all of my childhood nightmares coming true in a movie.
And you were 14.
I was.
Go Wolverines.
Oh my gosh.
So did you actually play around in the
like bunker?
Bunkers, gun turret.
Oh wow. Yeah. And one of our favorite things was to wear roller skates because everything was paved out there, you know. And so we would roller skate. We would set up houses. We would set up in our minds whole cities of, and then get all of the kids in the neighborhood to come play. They probably didn't want to, but we made them, you know. Oh no, you're going to be this. You're going to be the shopkeeper. You're going to be the soldier that keeps us safe. You're going to be, you know, whoever. And we would make forts, played out there for hours.
And you had access to the river as well. I mean, could you walk that far, or were you not allowed to walk that far?
I was not allowed to walk that far.
Oh, okay.
I had to stay within range that if my father whistled, I could hear him.
Okay.
Which incidentally, when I moved out and I got my first apartment was up on Alameda. And the very first weekend I was there, we're in the back of the apartment with my roommate at the time, and I hear a whistle. And I just, my head snapped. I said, my dad's here. And she goes, no, he's not. I go, oh no, my dad's here. And I went to the window and I looked down and he was whistling because he didn't know what apartment I was in.
Oh, funny. He trained you well.
So yes, I hear it. I still, you just stop and turn your head. Who needs me?
So you had a cool, or your family had a neat adventure when you were in high school, I think you had talked about, where your family actually left for was it South America or Central America?
Yes. So they brought the 7 boats up here. We were down to, I think, 3 boats at the time, the Liebling, the Wrangler, and the Debbie Wines, I think is what we had left. And some had been stolen, some were, and one was taken by the government. You could read that on the front page of the Daily Astorian. My uncle actually owned that boat, and he leased it to people for another season. I don't know if it was crab or whatnot. It was a shrimp boat, but he leased it out, and they were running drugs, and so the government took it. So then you're on the FBI radar, then the entire family is. But when fishing went bad here, then my family decided to take their boats to Columbia, South America, and they were moving to Cali, which is about an hour outside of Bogota. So we sold everything we had and got rid of everything, packed it all up. My dad had been in Colombia for a while, and then we were all set to go. And we had all of our shots and immunizations and, you know, the malaria and yellow fever and all of these crazy things. And then my dad went down there and realized, I don't know that I want the kids to come to this town, because the school we would have to go to was in Bogota, which was an hour drive. And we would be behind when we got back. And I had been begging and begging and begging, please don't make me go to Columbia. Nobody wants to go to Columbia, South America when you're a freshman. I was going to start my freshman year in high school.
Oh, no, that's right? Terrible.
I just wanted to
be a freshman
and flirt with boys. I didn't want to go learn a new language. So they did go. My dad decided it would be okay if I stayed. So myself and 2 of my brothers stayed, but my mother and my youngest brother went. And so I stayed with my grandparents, and we were raised here while they were gone. But they ended up coming back, gosh, within 8 months, I think. My mom and brother were back, and my dad was there for a little bit longer. But then when we did come back, actually, the captain of one of the boats, while the boats were there, he married a Colombian woman. And we came back, or the boats came back. And after a few months, I don't remember how many months, I didn't even look into this, I should have. The boat disappeared. It was out on a trip and it disappeared. They couldn't find it. He had stopped in Southern Oregon at one of the, I don't know, Coos Bay, Newport, some Brookings maybe, I'm not sure, and picked up 2 of his children. His oldest son was 18 and was a deckhand on the boat, but he picked up his 2 younger children, and the boat disappeared. And they never did find it. They didn't find a glove. They found no trace of it ever.
Hmm.
Wow. So he was lost with his 3 children. And it was on Unsolved Mysteries.
Oh, my gosh.
And
didn't you stumble upon it on the TV one day?
I did. It was when I was going to school at PCC and I was living in Portland, and we're just watching Unsolved Mysteries one night. And all of a sudden, there's the case of the Liebling was on Unsolved Mysteries. And I was like, oh, my gosh, you guys. Oh, my gosh, this is our boat. It was fascinating. It's been in a couple books. I don't know. It's.
Well, sure.
Just very strange things. So we didn't, they didn't ever find the boat. I have no idea what happened to it. But then, of course, you're on the FBI and drug enforcement and all that. You're on the radar again because these boats were American boats that had been in Colombia in the really right in the thick of all of the beginning of all the cartel and all of that. So there was a lot of, sure. Yeah. You know, they thought that he stole the boat and was running drugs with it. I don't know, but
right,
they never did find it. So who knows?
So what's it like to be on the FBI radar?
Yeah.
Twice.
Oh, I had no idea.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know. It didn't affect me in any way. My parents were wonderful about keeping all that on the down low and not talking about things like that in front of the children. So.
But later, how did you learn about it then?
You know, my sister-in-law. I had no idea.
Sister-in-law.
No idea. My sister-in-law. Yeah.
Oh. How funny.
She mentioned it and I was like, what? What are you talking about?
I'm just so excited. This is a monumental occurrence on Adventures in History. The first time we've had somebody from the FBI's watch list on our show. You've just classed us up something fierce. You've made us dangerous.
There we go. Summer Watkins, everybody.
I know.
Hashtag Summer Watkins.
So what did you think you were, you stay here, they leave, what do you think you're going to do with your life at this point?
Gosh, I had no idea. No idea whatsoever. It did not involve Clatsop County. Mm-hmm. That I do know. But I really wasn't sure what I was going to do with my life. I just was certain it was going to be other than in this environment. And I was, all of the tests I'd taken said I would have been a fantastic social worker, a fantastic lawyer, and there was one more. And I thought, well, I don't want to do any of those. I don't want to go to school that long. I remember at 29, I was pregnant with my youngest daughter. And I thought, I'm so tired of what's happening in this world. I'm going to go into politics. So I started studying, what do I need to do to go into politics? And then I saw all the steps I had to take. And I thought, I don't like people that much that I want to do this. And I don't want to go to school that long. So I didn't. I thought, you're going to be 35 by the time you finish your degree, because I got married at 20. So I had no education, formal education behind me. And the idea of doing that was like, oh, that just sounded terrible. I don't want to do that. So I didn't. And then a few years later, I was working at the local behavioral health organization. I was the finance manager there. And we had a director, the executive director was leaving. And I realized, you have really screwed yourself up. You have painted yourself into this corner, because I was uneducated. I was a woman. And these are his words. He told me, this is your problems. You're uneducated, you're a woman, and you're too young. And he was very clear about that. And he didn't hide it from me. He was very clear. I'm not going to listen to you because you're too young, you're a woman, and you're uneducated. Now, that being said, when he left, he told me that he'd been working in behavioral health for almost 40 years. He said, of all the people I've ever worked with, I've only got four or five people that I would take with me to build the perfect agency, and you're one of them. So in that moment, I thought, what am I going to do? I can't work for this in this environment. I can't go elsewhere because people wouldn't hire me. I was either uneducated, so I didn't qualify, or I was overqualified, and I couldn't find a job. So I thought, I'm going to have to do something. And I went back to school and got my associate's, then my bachelor's, and then my master's. And now I'm thinking, what am I going to do with my life? And I decided, I want to run the agency that I was working for. I think I could do better than some of the people they've had in there. So I did that and just kind of got stuck in the behavioral health world. And then I worked for Greater Oregon Behavioral Health, which used to be part of the CPCCO. They had the mental health and addictions benefit for Medicaid in this county. And then anyway.
So when you started, when you got into that job and got trapped, you were doing finance stuff.
No, I was hired as receptionist.
Oh, okay.
And when I quit, I was executive director.
That's amazing. So was behavioral health something that you were interested in, or was it just, hey, it's
no,
a job?
No, gosh, no. When I started, I didn't know the difference between mental health and developmental disabilities. I didn't know where the line was. I didn't know what it meant. Actually, I wasn't even looking for a job. I was working at Hauke's Century Market.
Oh, my gosh.
Of course.
And I was doing the ordering and management of the general merchandise and health and beauty aids. And I only worked 4 hours a day. We had one car because I worked from 5 until 10 in the morning and my husband worked 11 to 7. So we had one car and he would have the kids in the morning. I would go to work and so on. Anyway, I had just gotten home from work. No, it was a weekday. I got a phone call from a person who was the office manager at the behavioral health agency. And she said, Summer, do you want a job? And I said, no, I've got a job. Oh, come on. I really need a receptionist. Yeah, I've never been a receptionist. I've already got a job. I need you to come in here. It pays this. It does this. It does this. You can learn this, you know, it goes on and on. And I finally said, fine, I'll take a job. And she says, can you be here tomorrow at 8? And I said, no, I've got a job. So I quit that job and I became receptionist. And like I said, I wasn't even looking for a job. It just kind of came to me. That's almost been what happens most of the time.
Oh my gosh. So let's talk about you and Derek just a
Absolutely.
Little bit, because it's a sweet story. I mean, your whole friend story. So I know Summer because she's lifelong friends with my husband, Mark. I mean, known each other forever. And
I'm 11 days younger.
Yeah. So I mean, see, and their friend group is so strong mm-hmm. even now. And you're all spread out. And then there's a core group of you, but even the core group is spread out, mm-hmm. although some of you are still here. But Derek's in that group because you knew him and you were friends with him. When did that turn? When were you like, I'm going to marry him?
Well, so I met him. He was new to town. He was actually born here. His father was in the Coast Guard. His grandparents lived here. His mother was raised and graduated from here. So there's a lot of strong family history there, but I didn't know him because they were living in different states, North Carolina and Michigan at the time. And he showed up on the first day of my seventh grade year. And I just remember him. I saw him and I was like, oh man, that boy's cute. I really, really like him. And I was so shy, I couldn't talk to him. But I would just stare at him every day. And then the following year, we kind of became friends. And I knew I was going to marry him. By the time my eighth grade year ended, I was like, I'm going to marry that guy. And we'd never dated, nothing like that. But I just knew it. And then I remember... Oh, I think I told you the story of the calendar that Derek's grandmother, yes. when his grandmother was cleaning out their house, she gave me this big box of really, I mean, it was just a lot of crap, old half-burned candles and old just stuff that I was like, what in the heck am I going to do with this? But in there was a calendar from 1984. And at the time that I was reading this, it was probably late 90s, like 98, 99. And I look at Derek and I go, look at this. What in the heck are we going to do with a 1984 calendar? And I go flipping through it. And I ended on a day that said, pick up freezer in Fort Stevens. And immediately I actually got tears in my eyes because I remember the day I was in my bedroom window and I heard people outside. So I look out my bedroom window and I look down and I'm right above the back porch. And I see Derek Watkins with his grandfather. And I was like, oh my gosh, Derek is at my house. Oh my gosh, Derek Watkins at my house. And I was still, I couldn't even talk. I just sat there and stared and I watched them pick up this freezer. It was when we were moving to Columbia and we were selling everything we had. His grandparents bought the freezer. And she wrote that in the book. And that was the first page I turned to. And I was like, oh, we have to keep this book forever, right? So fascinating fact. Also, when she gave me that book, they gave us their old freezer, which, by the way, so that was in 1984 and it was used. So I have no idea what year my parents actually got that freezer, but it is still in my garage being used today.
Oh my gosh.
I bet it came from Sears.
I love it.
I don't know.
That is amazing.
So, yeah.
And how many years married now?
We on December 29th was 35 years.
Oh my gosh. Amazing. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for sharing part of your story. I sure appreciate it. If you're listening, this was Summer Watkins. She is the director of finance for Columbia County Mental Health and a dear friend. Also a dancer. She plays Claire's mom in The Nutcracker. For how many years?
I'm not quite sure how many years I've been the mom, but I think I've been in The Nutcracker as an adult for like 25, 26 years.
Oh my gosh.
And as a child, I was in it a few times as well.
Okay. Well, thank you. Your impact on this community is valuable.
Thanks. Oh, you're too kind. Thank you.
All right. Go make some history. Thanks for listening. And we will catch you next week.
Thank you for joining us for An Adventure in History. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.